Scorpion's audio.
Go. Say it. Say it.
The Boogie Monster with Kyle Kinane and Dave Stone.
Mean it. Say it again.
The Boogie Monster with Kyle Kinane and Dave Stone.
No, not sexy, like real.
The Boogie Monster with Kyle Kinane and Dave Stone.
Nailed it.
Big week. I thought for sure you would be at a truck stop in Redding, California or something, but you already made it home.
But can I tell you how Redding, so I left Sunday, Sunday about noon or 12:30 and got here about 0600, I'll tell you that.
Dude, that's a haul. Like,
I know 0600 because that's just 6 o'clock. Mm-hmm. I know AM military time.
Yeah, I don't know why it tricks people out once you get into PM. Like, what's 1500?
It's 2.
No, 3.
12, 3. Yeah. See? Because you're making me do math that's not part of my daily catalog.
Yeah.
And I'm like, just... But so, okay, so... So I got just south of Redding, but let's call it the Redding metropolitan area.
Uh-huh.
Redding, without fail. Without fail, we'll do some Redding ass shit.
Oh, for sure.
And this time I get to a gas station, and there's a car backing out of the AM, PM. As it's backing out, guy just tries to get out of the back seat. Guy just tries to get out. Yeah, tries to get out. He kind of stumbles. Fortunately, the car stops. And then he gets out, has words with whoever's in the car. Goes in to get a Slurpee, or whatever the AM, PM equivalent is thereof.
Yeah.
Comes back out with a full Slurpee. Is talking to the people inside the car. He's standing outside the car. He's talking to them inside the car. Then he puts his full Slurpee on the ground, gets in the car, and they leave. Leaves the Slurpee there.
Do you think that was an accident? Or he didn't like the Slurpee? He's like, fuck this Slurpee.
No, I don't think anything's on purpose in Redding.
True.
I don't know. Accident's a strong word, but... Yeah, I think it's not good. A lot of places aren't good right now. People aren't doing... The general consensus, I'd say... L.A. was a wild... got some real strips of nothing good happening down there. Well, who am I to judge how people are living? Maybe this long line of tattered and battered RVs along Forest Lawn Boulevard. Everybody's having a happy time in there. I don't know.
Yeah, I know what you mean. So, yeah, it's real bleak around here as far as...
it's bleak a lot of places, buddy.
The unhoused just seems, that population just seems to be growing and growing. It's crazy how it's just like sprawling like this. Like you, when I moved here 11 years ago, there were your certain neighborhoods, obviously your downtown Skid Row area and other pockets. But now just sprawling out in the suburbs, you go out to the valley and there's just folks laying around.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's crazy.
Well, maybe that's why all these UFOs are coming.
Maybe.
Maybe they're maybe this real estate fear of like what out of town investors are doing. Maybe that's aliens. You know, they're buying up property. they're coming. They're scoping out Earth. They're looking to gentrify Earth. Like property values, property's real cheap on Earth right now.
Mm-hmm. Crazy weekend for all that stuff, man. It's like War of the Worlds.
What's going on now? So Chinese spy balloon was just that, and I kind of left that one.
Mm-hmm.
Just like when everybody's taking the bait. Not that it's a story.
Yeah.
But like I have the things that I'll look at online, but like Twitter's trash. Twitter's Twitter's always been what it is, but right now, especially with the Elon thing, we don't have to go into it, but it's just, it is just walking down the street with crazy people yelling at you, and you're like, I just don't even need to walk down the street anymore. Twitter's nothing important. And, like, everybody takes the bait. That singer Sam Smith wore a crazy balloon outfit or something. Like, somebody wears something to be like, look at me, isn't this ridiculous? And everybody goes, hey, look at it, isn't this ridiculous? And it's like, well, that's the intended reaction. All you did was take the bait. Mm-hmm. Like, there's a guy that's, like, made, excuse me, made millions of dollars on TikTok because he would react to somebody doing something stupid. But the whole point, that's the whole point. People make stupid food just so somebody will make a reaction video like, oh, isn't this disgusting? Like, way to go. Let me get you a big fat worm on a hook. Good job. But maybe that's the economy. That's the social, like, they're in on it too. They know that somebody's making macaroni and cheese with chocolate syrup or some shit. And the guy who makes the video where he watches it and he's like, that's disgusting. They need each other, you know?
Mm-hmm. Dude.
You know, it's a codependent relationship. I'm just kind of like, wow, I'm over it.
I'm starting to see reaction to reaction videos. I saw a video the other day, I think it was TikTok or somewhere, where they were like, hey, let's watch this classically trained jazz drummer react to a heavy metal drummer. So we're watching a guy reacting to another guy. It's like three steps now.
Yeah, and I mean, some of that stuff is kind of heartwarming where you see, like, and they were playing, like, heavy metal for a couple of black guys and watching that, like, or just anybody, like, oh, you haven't heard this music before, and watching them truly enjoy it.
Uh-huh.
Like, oh, that's kind of heartwarming. I get it. And to go back to like the Chinese spy balloon, like everybody was on top of that. And so I was like, I don't need to get up into this story.
Yeah.
Because I was already seeing too much. Anytime I looked at anything, it was, you know, the 700th version of a joke.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, like late night's unnecessary. Social media took over late night TV.
True.
Here's the thing that's happening. Go on social media. Here's 1,000 bad jokes and 3 good ones.
Yeah.
So I was like, all right, Chinese spy balloon. It's China. They do spy shit. They use the balloon. Old school. Kind of respect it. You know, it was a big red balloon.
That doesn't seem very covert, though. Like a giant balloon? Why not?
This guy's a big place.
Yeah. But I don't understand. Like, you would think with their technology, why not a little drone or something, some sort of high-powered drone. But, like, it feels like a balloon the size of a school bus is going to be detected eventually.
Maybe not.
Because maybe they don't care.
Electronic. I'm sure there's some pay grades above us, Dave, that makes the balloons make sense.
Sure. Good point.
Yeah, I don't think they were just like, what if we tie a camera to this happy birthday elephant I stole from my kid's birthday party.
Mm-hmm.
We floated up there. I think there's some aspect to it. But so, all right, so they got that one.
Yeah, they shot that one down February 4th off the coast of South Carolina.
Yeah, and so everybody was making their, throwing rocks over the fence politically, like, oh, why didn't somebody shoot it down sooner? And then, well, the Trump administration let 2 or 3 of these fly over. But that information means that, okay, so stuff has been floating around for years. They're sending stuff over all the time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's all kinds of shit floating around up there. So, are these things that happened over the weekend viable news stories, or they're just in the circulation because the Chinese spy balloon got everybody's attention? And so, news is for profit. It's like, wow, people like balloon stories. Here's 3 more that we found out about. Like, maybe these other ones would have been routine if everybody didn't get a hard on over the Chinese one.
Yeah. Yeah, February 10th, UFO shot down over Alaska.
Okay.
February 11th, another one shot down over the Yukon territory of Canada. And then yesterday, as we're recording, February 12th, UFO shot down over Lake Huron, off of near Michigan. So that is weird. 3 in 3 days over the weekend. And believe it or not, I was actually doing some research. And one thing I ran across was somebody was talking about how radars detect this kind of stuff. Like you said, there's all kind of space junk and just, I mean, of course, this isn't necessarily outer space. This is our atmosphere. But there's all kinds of, you know, drones and satellites and whatnot. But someone was talking about how basically maybe the reason we've detected and then shot down three over the weekend was since that first spy balloon, February 4th, the radar systems the people who operate them have kind of like opened up their filters. They equated it to, I'm reading off this article, much like a car buyer unchecking boxes on a website to broaden the parameters of what can be searched. That change does not fully answer what is going on, the official continued, and whether stepping back to look at more data is yielding more hits or if these latest incursions are part of a more deliberate action by an unknown country or adversary. So, you know, maybe they had their filters tightened up initially, but ever since the spy balloon, they broadened the filters, and now they're detecting more things.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, shit. People have been shoplifting for a while. We better get on this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay. That's what I'm thinking. Like, all right, we got to keep our eyes open because this stuff is going on. So, it's still a little bit wild because they're not saying what it is that they're shooting down.
But yeah.
What?
They've been real tight-lipped about it. And just about an hour ago today, White House released a statement saying that they have no evidence that indicates that any of these three UFOs or UAPs are of extraterrestrial origin. So there's no evidence to suggest that they are from, you know, another, from outer space or another planet or what have you.
Do you think they'd say if they were?
No, I don't. So, like, that statement means almost nothing to me. I don't feel like they would. I mean, given how tight-lipped they've been for decades, until recently, you know, a few years ago when the Navy came out with those sightings that we've all seen, you know, that footage. But until then, like, at least our government has traditionally been very tight-lipped about anything like this. So I don't know how much water this holds, this new statement that came out today. But it is weird, like, 3 in 3 days, you know, and I know I just said the thing about opening up their parameters and their filters, but even with that, it just seems that if, you know, if it's a serious enough thing for us to deploy fighter jets to shoot them down, it's odd that similar stuff would have been happening all along and us just not worrying about it or ignoring it.
Yeah, I think this is a great way to be like, see, we need all the jets.
What
if balloons fly by again?
Mm-hmm.
So they could defend the defense budget.
Yeah.
Also, pretty shitty aliens if we got three of them in 3 days.
True.
Pretty shitty.
Yeah.
So I am not leaning towards this being anything of, extraterrestrial origin.
Mm-hmm.
But the technology of what's going on here on Earth, just to usurp our fellow, what's the term for there's like countrymen, but like globally.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Our global neighbors.
Yeah.
So I think that. I don't know. I do not. There's too many doomsday people out there in conspiracy theorists, so I don't want to go that way, but I'm like, it doesn't feel good, man. Doesn't feel good.
Yeah.
A lot of goofy, sneaky stuff going on, and which it always has been.
Yeah.
But technology has progressed at an outlandish rate in the last 100 years, give or take.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's always the false flag option as well. Like, I was reading an article where they were suggesting, what does this mean as far as, are they trying to distract us? Hey, look at all this stuff we're shooting down. Don't pay attention to the pipeline or whatever else is going on right now.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That. Geez, for the first time I felt bad for Ohio. Wow, yeah. We got an earthquake. We got a Chernobyl, a minor Chernobyl. We got all kinds of wild stuff. I read this. That was a military technique because somebody was joking in a thread about the balloon and everything. It's like, oh, send out, like, just to fuck with the enemy. Send out numbered, like, oh, send out four balloons, but number them like 1, 2, 4, 5.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So then everybody's spending their time looking for number three. Like, just all that. Just the tiniest psychological fuckery.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Department of Psychological Fuckery.
Oh, yeah.
DPF.
Well, I mean, that's a...
I work for DPF, Department of Psychological Fuckery.
I wonder how many...
Also, we're called DSF, just to fuck around with you.
I wonder if this is going to encourage or invite hoaxers.
What doesn't?
Yeah.
What? I swear, I bet at least one of these things was like a gender reveal balloon that didn't pop. Like, what was it? Well, it was a girl. That's what it was. We found out it was a girl at the cost of $60 million to deploy jets.
Yeah.
You're having twins. Congratulations.
What is our defense budget, by the way?
It's more than a couple bucks.
Let's see. What is the U.S. defense budget?
It's got to be at least $500, man. At least. Outlandish. More than I make in a day.
That's true. It's more than I make in a year.
Yeah. Nod to the old Andy Sandberg. It's preposterous. Whatever the number is.
$1.7 trillion, I think.
Oh, sure, sure.
And a trillion, I know a billion is 1,000 millions. Is a trillion 1,000 billions or 100? Yep. I guess it would be 1,000. Yeah. She would call it a couple hundred billion. Jesus Christ.
Now think that there are billionaires on Earth.
Mm-hmm.
Think that a person has access to several thousand million dollars.
That's
and think that you would still also behave like Elon Musk.
We can spend $1.7 trillion. I know this is low hanging fruit and very obvious, but you would think that country has a defense budget of $1.7 trillion. They must have no sickness, disease, or homelessness in that country, right?
Oh, buddy. You want to start splitting those hairs?
I mean, Jesus Christ. We can't just cut that in half.
But what's important, Dave, is that we all feel safe all the time.
That's true.
And that's what I understand. How do you not... isn't disease a threat?
Yeah.
Wouldn't it be considered defense spending? Isn't healthcare? Why isn't healthcare considered defense spending? If defense is to protect the American citizens, ensure their safety, how does healthcare not fall under that? How does preventative maintenance? How is the same as like putting a base in a foreign land to establish presence? Why isn't allowing every citizen to have a regular free access to healthcare, like a checkup every year to prevent, future issues? That was the whole thing. all this COVID spending, all we have to like put, it's defense spending.
Yeah.
Why is it not considered defense spending? The protection of the citizens of the country. But, hey, man, I'm not going to sit here like I got all the answers.
Well, and also going back to the spy balloon, and I don't have the facts in front of me, but I did see somewhere like, okay, we shot down a Chinese spy balloon over U.S. soil. How many U.S. spy balloons are floating around the skies of China right now?
Oh, lots. We got satellites. We got balloons. I still, excuse me, pardon me. There's that is the mud. It is the wonderful thing to like daydream about all the fantastical ideas that we might have in the name of defense.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's easy to believe, you know, these Bob Lazars and stuff who come out and like, well, here's what I saw, and the one guy who's brave enough to let people know about the truth. But I think they would. I do think if there was somebody really spilling the beans on what was actually happening, they'd 86 you.
Yeah,
you'd be off the menu pretty quick. Like, why would they go through all the effort to psychologically undermine an individual? Or discredit them.
Mm-hmm.
It just seems like so much more work than to just like, well, they went on a fishing trip and never came back.
Yeah.
If they didn't want that stuff getting out there. Why let somebody in the name of disinformation like, oh, he's telling the truth, but we'll discredit him so the source is unbelievable. Why not just eliminate the source?
Yeah. I mean, I think they have done that. I mean, what's the guy? I wanted to say Fred Schneider, but that's not him.
The guy from the B-52s?
Yeah.
It's all coming together. B-52s. It's a defense weapon.
The guy who got in a gunfight with aliens at the Dulce base in New Mexico, and then they shot off a couple of his fingers, and then he was going around for a few years telling that story at conferences and stuff, and then they found him murdered in his apartment.
Well, there was that one guy that was he was about to expose some other things. I don't know if it was like Panama Papers or something like that. It wasn't alien related, but he was it was a suicide. He shot himself in the head twice,
mm-hmm. That's hard to do.
And they say that. There's circumstances where you could screw it up the first time and then you're in such terrible pain that you can, but I'm not saying that the government is like, of course they're covering things up.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. But I can't go down. I can't turn into one of these like everything's
of course.
A lie. Like, I don't want to spend my life like that.
Nah.
I don't want to walk through the world with that being my default setting. Mm-hmm. It seems so exhausting.
Yeah.
Like how many, the QAnon, the truthers and everything. It's like, what's your life like? What is your life like that you couldn't just get into like Needlepoint instead of this bullshit? Like, what are you doing?
How annoying must that be for his friends and family?
I just like the comedians that go down that rabbit hole. It's like, what's... Again, I think the grift, the grift, you make more money. It's a Posehn bit,
mm-hmm.
that I saw, Brian Posehn bit, where he's tired. He's like, the one thing I like about all the MAGA people and the QAnon people is that they're merched up. You know exactly who they are.
Yeah.
And I was thinking about that. They do the left, I hate using the word the woke left or whatever, but like that side of things, there's those people that are just loud for the sake of loud too.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't financially capitalize on the grift as much as the right does.
Yeah.
The right definitely can get, like, those people will spend money. They have no sense of design. So the t-shirts with the eagle flying through the flag.
So bad.
Kind of shit. Yeah, they have no taste. So they'll buy shitty stuff. Whereas if you want to grift on the left, I mean, you had like the Obama Hope poster. So mm-hmm. Shepard Fairey, everybody locked into that.
Yeah.
But then I can't think of anything on the left that really nailed it design-wise.
I had a pretty rad Black Lives Matter t-shirt that was in the form of the third Black Sabbath album cover.
Yeah.
Masters of Reality. I always want to say.
Yeah, see, there's something, at least that's a little like, oh, it's clever, and like you're not embarrassed to wear it.
Mm-hmm.
But you know that people aren't embarrassed to wear shirtless Trump riding in a tank on a t-shirt, so... It's a taste. So the monetary grift is better on the right.
Yeah.
Because, oh, man, you go to like, and I'm like, whatever you want to think about, like any of these, like I was listening to some podcasts about cults and everything. And like this dude named J.P. Sears keeps coming up.
Huh.
And I guess he was like, what I've read about him, it was like he kind of made fun of like wellness culture. It was like a fake yoga guy, like for comedic like YouTube videos, and then he moved hard into the, but you go to his website right away and it's like, sign up now and get three bracelets, and it's like, it's merch. It is, yeah, fully merch. They're like the Hodge twins. Know who they are?
No.
They're like they're twins, so they're like black conservative comedians.
Oh boy.
Which, all right, wow, you found a niche.
Yeah, that's a niche.
But they're wet, like, well, I'll go to it right now. Their website, it's immediately, it's just merch. Like, which makes sense. I mean, people on that side are more quick to go to, they're capitalists, you know.
Mm-hmm.
OfficialHodgeTwins.com. The thing is, patriotic apparel. Like, oh, it's just... Oh, yeah, it's win a contest. There's a pop-up to get a 10%. It's a store. They run a store. They're not that it's, yeah, we got Second Amendment flag shirts and Don't Tread on Me shirts. And yeah, so they, I mean, it's, they know what they're doing. We got to make, we need better merch, Dave.
I was just going to ask you, have you ever rocked any, like, what's the most polarizing or, you know, extreme t-shirt you've ever rocked in public?
Oh, I mean, I had a, you know what's weird is I could hear the, they'll do like Air Guard from PDX over here. Mm-hmm. Let's all hear the jets fly over, and I hear them right now. I've heard them, but it happens like once a week. But now I'm like, what's going on? Are there more balloons? What'd you find? I had like a legalized gay shirt that I wore 12 years ago or something. I don't know. I'm not really trying to advertise too much.
Yeah.
I just think it's corny.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm trying to think of what I have that's, I don't know. If anything, like, I hate to say it, like, I'd be more wanting to troll both sides.
Yeah.
But I don't know, trolling isn't outside of my stupid Elon Musk shit on Twitter. Yeah, I don't know. I don't have anything, you know, nothing. Like, I did not think the pentagram shirts and everything, I'm like, oh, it's just hilarious to me. But then it's funny that, what was it, the Grammys last week, where the same dude with the balloon outfit was like doing a devil thing.
Oh, right, yeah.
I did like a devil. I didn't watch it, but I just saw like, oh, here's the predictable outrage, and it's like, how many of these fucking dildos listen to Ozzy and are like, man, this music is trying to corrupt our youth with Satanism.
Yeah.
Like, all right, so we're just dredging up this argument from 40 years ago.
Cool. Mm-hmm. Satanic panic. I told you about years ago, I was a teenager, and I was still loosely involved in church. I think it was right before I could drive. I stopped going to church pretty much the day I could drive myself in a vehicle. It must have been like 15, and we went to some like Wednesday night youth conference thing, and just a laundry list of popular bands that are... that have cryptic satanic messages. And we're talking Pearl Jam, smashing pumpkins. I was like, you guys are out of your fucking minds. Like they were serious.
You'll find it. You'll find it. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, are you, I mean, what the fuck? Like, basically anything, any secular music, no matter how benign. Oh, we found some cryptic messages in a John Mayer song. Like, sure you did. sure you did. All right, you guys are out of your fucking minds. I'm out of here.
Okay, can I? Okay, let's go the other way with that. So, the, like, if you want to find a satanic message, you're going to find it. But now, remember when the OK symbol, everybody's like, oh, that's white power.
What's the OK remember symbol? That? Oh, where you hold.
People making the yeah, OK.
The three fingers in the circle? Yeah.
Yeah. And everybody being like, this is a symbol. Look, they're making the symbol for white power. Like, the side, like, that side fell for the same shit.
Mm-hmm.
And they fed into it. As much as I will wear a pentagram just to, like, you know, scare some old biddy at the grocery store, that side was doing the same thing. And we're like, see, that just proves that they're making the white power symbol. I'm like, you're a fucking idiot. Like, you're taking the bait. That was kind of like part of my demise, and like, I'm not following either of these sides of shit. Mm-hmm. So right now I'm on the Southern Poverty Law Center website. We're like, and they say the smirk that almost inevitably accompanies the OK sign, that simplest of hand signs, is the dead giveaway in the shroud of the internet age befuddlement. Does the sign, the thumb and forefinger joined together in a circle, the remaining three fingers splayed out behind, mean it's all good, or does it mean white power instead? The smirk gives away the proper answer. You're being trolled. Yeah, fucking everything is reaction. So that's why. Oh, let's not act like one side is not also falling for the same shit.
Mm-hmm.
How we got there, I don't know.
That's all right, man.
How did we get there?
Hey, by the way, it's Valentine's Day, so happy Valentine's Day from us here at the Boogie Monster and your friends at Adam and Eve. .com. How are you planning on spicing things up today in the bedroom or the living room or the basement? Wherever you handle that kind of business, check out adamandeve.com. They got you covered. You know the drill. You go to adamandeve.com, you select almost any one item, you're going to get 50% off almost any other item. They have to say almost because some of the big ticket items, you know, but most everything on the website. You get your one thing, you get another one 50% off. How about that? That's not all, though. When you select your one item, you're also going to get a free Valentine's Lovers Kit. What could that be? Valentine's Lovers Kit? Maybe get some WD-40, maybe some welder's gloves, some bungee cords, who knows? I do know that you're going to get an item for him, a special toy for her, and something we know that you'll both enjoy. And I don't know what that is. That could be anything. But that's intriguing. Also, the Lover's Kit includes 6 free movies for your viewing pleasure, plus free shipping. Head on over to adamandeve.com. Be sure to use our offer code Boogie. That's B-O-O-G-I-E in that order. Because without it, there's no free Valentine stuff. Got to use code Boogie. Adamandeve.com. Have a happy Valentine's Day. And, you know, just be careful. Just follow the directions, follow instructions, all safety precautions. But get in there and have some fun. It's Valentine's Day. It's not hacked to get down on V-Day. So get in there, be careful. Promo code Boogie, adamandeve.com. I wanted all these UFOs to be something more, but...
Yeah.
Mm.
Well, like, okay, so just like the if you want to, if it's what you want to see,
yeah.
You will, is it, boy, I'm still bad with my terms. Is it confirmation bias? Or is it, confirmation bias is you're going to only like find the information that proves your point.
Yeah, yeah. Ignore so all that's the others.
And that's the back and forth of conspiracy theorists. Like conspiracy theorists are always going to find things that bolster their beliefs.
Mm-hmm.
Which I want to give a shout out to a podcast called Uncanny. Maybe people are already on that tip. Man, it's great.
Really? I'm unfamiliar.
He does. It's a British fella. He does. It's people's account of like ghost stories or poltergeists, or in case of a UFO. But then, in between the interview and the person telling their story of their experience, he'll then go to. He'll interview like a skeptic and like a paranormal researcher and be like, "What do you think so far of what you've heard of this interview?"
Uh huh.
And the skeptic, not in a cynical way, just in a like, well, like, oh, this person hears these, there's this haunting in room 611 on this building. And it's like, well, and then he goes to the audience too. He's like, listen, next week, like everybody call in with your theories and next week we'll do a recap of that also. And somebody's like, well, yeah, if there's elevators in a building, guitar strings, halfway through the guitar string is the harmonic. Elevator cords could do that same thing. Where if the elevator's halfway up on the elevator cables, it can create a strange frequency. And so not in a cynical way trying to debunk things, but having like a skeptic or a scientist being like, well, here's an explanation that could possibly, you know, possibly solve what this person's experiencing. And then there's a, somebody else. It's like, well, there's proof of this kind of spiritual activity in places like that. Like, it's just, it's well done. I listened to it. It got me through the 15-hour plus drive I just completed a few hours ago.
Have you slept today?
I got a couple. I finally pulled over. I was like an hour away from home and I finally pulled over because I was starting to hallucinate. Mm-hmm. So I pulled over. I think I slept maybe about a half hour there and I got home here and I've slept. Maybe, I don't know, a couple, 2-3 hours. Damn. I don't know. I'm just feeling wild, but
yeah, man. Good for you, buddy. That is a haul.
But it was that good of a podcast that I just munched through those episodes. And because it was great, because it was still a scary story, but then it was going to some experts, more or less, in the field to like talk about it, but not be cynical. It was just really hit the sweet spots for me.
Well, that's
Uncanny
cool.
is
Uncanny.
What it's called.
All right, I'll
suggest that to folks.
I'll check that out.
Yeah, but I don't know. Boy, I feel like I've been yammering off here, Dave.
Well, that's all right, buddy. I gotta thank you for reminding me to watch a program that we watched together the other night over here. I've seen the first 3 episodes of Barry like 4 or 5 times. And not because I didn't enjoy it, but just for other whatever reasons, I never made it past that. And we started watching that the other night. I mowed through the whole thing throughout the course of the weekend. And holy shit, what a great show. I know it's been out for a while. It's not, you know, new and a lot of people are onto it. But damn, what a good show that is. Really enjoyed Barry. Yeah.
A lot of good stuff going on out there.
Yeah, man.
What I want to continue on. I'm kind of psyched about where we're at. We're on topic this week, Dave.
Yeah, man. I've got another, I've got an old historical UFO story for you real quick. Not a huge, elaborate, crazy story, but I found this
historic,
one.
Historic UFOs.
Yeah.
They were powered by kerosene back then.
November 17th, 1896, Sacramento, California. As the Sacramento Bee newspaper reported, last evening between the hours of 6 and 7 o'clock in the year of our Lord, 1896, a most startling exhibition was seen in the sky in the city of Sacramento. And then I'll kind of do my own commentary from here. But basically, a bunch of people saw a spacecraft.
A most startling exhibition.
Yeah, it's so dramatic the way they wrote
back
then.
Made my album that.
A bunch of people saw an unidentified flying object hovering over Sacramento. 25 feet wide, 150 feet long. Witness M.T. Shelley, whom the San Francisco Call described as, quote, a gentleman of undoubted veracity. He described the object.
What does that mean? Just horny?
Yeah, what does veracity mean? I don't know
Today's language, dude fucks.
Dude fucks. He described the object being 25 feet wide, 150 feet long, with giant wings or propellers seemingly made of shiny metal. Some observers saw the dark outlines of four figures steering the craft. I think they called him fat.
Sorry. I think the veracity.
Undoubted veracity. Yeah, like voracious means, yeah, like if you're a voracious reader.
How'd they spell it?
V-E-R-A-C-I-T-Y, veracity.
V-E-R-A-C, okay. Veracity. Conformity to facts. Accuracy. Oh, okay. Never mind.
Okay.
V-O-R-A-C, that one means fat.
Okay. That would be funny.
V-O-R-A-C.
Be funny if that's what they meant.
You said V-E-R-A-C?
V-E-R-A-C-I-T-Y. Okay,
yeah, conformity to facts and accuracy. V-O-R-A-C. I thought, like, yeah, this fat guy saw a UFO. Oh, Sacramento Bee, editorialize much?
A lot of people saw this. They didn't know. Some people thought it was a meteor. Some people thought it was a large bird with a Chinese lantern around its neck. That's exactly what I would have gone to immediately.
Chinese lanterns were big back in the day.
Some people thought it was a swarm of lightning beetles. Keep in mind, this was before the Wright brothers and Kitty Hawk, all that, before blimps. 2 days later, things got even stranger. Get this. Colonel H.G. Shaw told the Stockton Daily Mail that he and a companion were traveling in a horse-drawn buggy 50 miles south of Sacramento when, quote, the horse stopped suddenly and gave a snort of terror. They encountered three aliens and their hovering spaceship. According to Shaw, the naked 7-foot-tall extraterrestrials had large, shiny eyes and spoke with one another by warbling. Quote, one of them, at a signal from one who appeared to be the leader, attempted to lift me, probably with the intention of carrying me away, Shaw said. But the aliens lacked the strength to complete the kidnapping. They returned to their spacecraft and whooshed away. They think this might be the first ever report of an attempted alien abduction. After Shaw's narrow escape, sightings of spaceships and aliens spread across the country. Over the next 6 months, more than 1,500 U.S. newspapers published stories of mysterious airships, often seen by thousands of witnesses, in what would later be called the Great Airship Mystery of 1896 and 97. They thought... The San Francisco Call newspaper, they speculated that only a genius like Thomas Edison could be responsible for such an aircraft. But Edison, shortly thereafter, held a press conference to denounce his involvement. Quote, this supposed airship out west, I prefer to devote my time to objects that have more commercial value. At best, airships
like stealing from other people.
At best, airships would only be toys. Okay. It's one thing to see something in the sky, but this H.G. Shaw, he came face to face with 3 7-foot-tall aliens, one of which tried to pick him up and carry him away, but was not strong enough to do so. That's insane, if there's any truth to this account.
H.G. Shaw. Let's go look up this fellow here. And aliens just... Again... Technology to travel from another land, but then you gotta like grab him like he's an onion at the grocery store.
Yeah.
Uncle retire. Yeah. Okay. This is just a. I mean, Sacramento doesn't have a lot of else going on. All right. What do you think? You think, yeah?
I mean, yeah, I don't know who this H.G. Shaw is. He's not the one that has undoubted veracity. That's M.T. Shelley. So I don't know. if anybody can sign off on H.G. Shaw's
I miss the day of people going by two initials and a last name.
Yeah. Well,
what's your initials?
DG. I would be DG Stone.
That's solid.
Yeah.
What's your heritage?
I am Irish, English, and Native American.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. My dad's side, a lot of Native American. My mom's side, a lot of Irish and English.
I was trying to think, I was loopy last night, but I was trying to think of a joke that, like, Native Americans can really just, like, really capitalize on white guilt and make up all kinds of shit to sell to white folks.
Oh, sure.
Like, oh, that rock there? Oh, yeah, that cures prostate cancer. Give me $100. You know?
Yeah.
Like, just go for it. Take something back. You know?
It's the least we could do.
Yeah. Oh, no, these are magic turnips.
I still can't get over the concept of manifest destiny. What a fucking crock of shit. God wants us to have this land. Really? Because we've been here for thousands of years. Nah, God wants us to have this land. Okay.
God's got... I drove through Hollywood and they're still waiting for the crosswalk to turn to say, God will save your soul. Like with their banners. Like they're still, that old Jesus is a permeating force.
Sure is.
To like go out and excuse horrible behaviors.
Mm-hmm.
But that's a whole other subject.
Yeah.
But yeah, I didn't know that. Native American. Okay.
Yeah.
That'd be me. DG Stone.
Mm-hmm. Gaines.
I'd be Gaines.
Yeah, it's my grandfather's name, who I never particularly cared for, but that's all right.
That was his first name?
No, that was his middle name. Yeah.
Oh. D.G. Stone. Mm-hmm. Sounds trustworthy.
Yeah.
I see it in like the font that's on like a dollar bill. I see that like on a stagecoach.
Oh, man.
Mine's Casey Kinane. I sound like a fucking huckster.
Casey Kinane. Yeah, but you've got the alliteration on the first and last. That's the
Casey Kinane. Yeah, Casey Kinane, real smart mouth, but can't shoot straight. So don't worry if he whips his gun out at the saloon. You're fine.
I've never met or even heard of another Kinane other than, you know, your parents and your sister.
They're out there.
Yeah,
I told you I was in Ireland doing a festival. Like, how do you pronounce your last name? I'm like, you tell me. I don't know. It's from here. They're like, oh, it's Canaan. I'm like, well, we've been fucking that one up since we landed.
Oh man, I never thought of that. Canaan.
Yeah,
kind of a pecan pecan situation there.
Oh, Kyle Canaan.
Canaan. Oh. Was it somebody?
The illiterate leprechaun. You mean he can't read? No, it's the K's. The K's. He's illiterate.
The Kile Kanane? That was funny.
That was awesome. That felt good. Are you from Hawaii? Fucking lady, what? Are you blind? Should you really be checking IDs at the airport? Because I don't think you can see. Oh, yeah, my ancestors owned all this. Just an albino Hawaiian. But with a tan, so that gives me my...
Yeah. Oh, man.
I'm a dark-skinned albino. I'm a dark-skinned albino Hawaiian.
Oh, jeez.
Named Kile Kanane.
Kile Kanane. Oh, good times. Did you have fun in L.A.? Did you get to do anything fun? I know you had your show Friday.
Man, I did spots, thanks to the folks who came out. I know there was a little riff-raff about... I didn't know the Largo, the venue I chose in LA, was going to be masks and vax cards mm-hmm. when I picked it. I'm not bent out of shape about it. Mm-hmm. I am like, okay, it's one of the last places that's still doing that. So thanks for the people that tolerated that.
Mm-hmm.
I thought the show was still fun though. I thought it was still a good time. And
Yeah.
I thought everybody did great. I had old Simon Gibson on it. Had you ever seen Simon before, Dave?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, very funny. I like Simon.
That dude just kills me.
Yeah, and I hadn't seen Bronger in a long time. It was great to see him.
Neither had I. I've great talked set. To him. He's a pal. Yeah, it was one of those like, oh, I have Bronger on. I was watching Bronger do his set. I was like, oh, I'm fucked.
Yeah, yeah. Like, you kept commenting about how y'all had gonna dice up the middle aged guy material.
Well, yeah, not even from like similar material. He was just so funny too. Yeah. But like, it is. We're both in that same place of like, what do you want me to do? Comment on politics?
Yeah.
Comment on society? Like I'm trying to perform comedy in the same vein as what I want to see out of comedy, which mm-hmm. is an escape from all that shit.
Absolutely.
So I'm going to talk about myself and what's going on is like, I'm 46, body's changing. I don't have kids. I don't have those other things to go to. I would like to find some more diverse things. That is the thing I'm lamenting in the set now is like, I don't want to do party stories, but mm-hmm. also here's a funny story that happened in a bar late.
Mm-hmm.
But please know that I'm telling this with some self-awareness that I'm not, this isn't like a, oh, here's, you know, six pints of glory or anything. It's,
yeah.
It's like, no, I'm just, this is sometimes I'm still out at night and still, you know, hang out with the crazies here and there.
We're good friends.
Oh man, I forgot about that. I just started like, oh wait, that was how normal that thing was. It also wasn't that extreme of a story. I'm just like, mm-hmm. I would rather be able to tell a mundane story entertainingly than have to have something so crazy happen.
Yeah.
That's what's entertaining.
Mm-hmm. It's a good point.
But, oh, man, I remember, I remember there's somebody I knew in L.A., but, like, he got, like, locked up on a 5150 charge.
Mm.
And
too much Van Halen.
It's too much. You can't, this guy thinks Sammy Hagar is better than David Lee Roth? Put
Get
the
him.
Cuffs on him.
Yep.
That's truly what a 5150 charge is. I don't know, Hagar. I think he's just a better performer. Oh, lock him up. But then he's like, and I saw him after, like, oh my God. He's like, what happened? He's like, the food was really bad. I'm like, that's the detail? As a comedian, that's the detail. Like, holy shit. But I think it's the ability to tell. To make any story funny without having to live be extreme about it.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I did when I was at Fest in Gainesville. Chris Gethard. It's one of those lines that makes me laugh to this day because he's talking about. He's like, yeah, I'm just, you know, I moved out to the burbs. I have a wife and a kid. And I'm just, and he's like, and I think something that happened for me recently is like I got really into edging. Everybody starts laughing. And he's like, yeah, and I know where you're laughing, but I didn't realize that when I started telling people.
Uh-huh.
No, I have a yard, and I'm really excited about tidying up. And it was like the easiest turn of phrase that's like, oh, what a filthy joke. No, you're just like tidying your yard around the sidewalk. And I'm like, that's so beautiful.
And he's not wrong. Edging was always my favorite part of doing a lawn. It's that final touch. It's beautiful. And I would do it at an angle. I had my own little technique where you do it at an angle, and it makes that edge even wider. And it just, it looks so crisp and clean. Looks good.
You should work at a golf course.
Those oh, man.
Love that shit.
Yeah. Yeah. I always wanted to. I always thought that'd be a great gig.
Groundskeeper. D.G. Stone. Groundskeeper.
Mm-hmm. Seriously, when I was...
What a title.
When I was a teenager, or late teens... When it set in, like, my whole childhood, till about the time I was 14, I was like, I'm going to be a Major League Baseball player. That's what I'm going to do. And then I got to high school, and it's like, well, I can't really hit a curveball that well. So those dreams quickly kind of faded. But there was a couple of years where I was like, man, worst case scenario, I'll go get a job on the Braves landscaping crew. You just said it. What's the name?
Groundskeeper.
Groundskeeper. Grounds crew, yeah. I always thought that would be a great gig. You know, you get to go to the ballpark every day. And, you know, and for someone who enjoys landscaping and like mowing and lawn maintenance, like why not work on the most beautiful piece of land, which is like a major league ballpark or, you know, something like that or golf course. But, yeah.
I think the term groundskeeper and landlord should be swapped.
That's a good point.
Like, no, you're the lord of the land. You're doing all the work. You know, landlords don't do shit. You're a lord, but groundskeeper, that's you just keep this ground. That's all you're doing when you're a landlord. But and when you're actually handling it, you are the lord of that land. I think we should swap those terms.
That's a great.
I put that. I wrote that in a note. Mm-hmm. I'm writing bits, dude.
Yeah, because landlord.
Stay tuned.
That would be a much cooler gig. You know, I'm a landlord. I lord over these lands.
Yeah. Yeah, you design it, you take care of it.
Mm-hmm.
Fucking real landlords ain't doing shit.
No. They ain't doing nothing.
But yeah, it was a fun week, man. I had some spots. I got to do a spot at a place called the Roguelike Tavern out in Burbank, Studio City area, which as soon as I got to it, I'm like, oh, this used to be my buddy's bar, Crawford's.
Oh, okay, Crawford's. It's not Crawford's anymore out there?
No, not the one out in Burbank.
Do they still have the one over near Echo Park?
I'm not sure. Mm. I'm not sure. I'm going to look it up now because that is a cool bar that's over there.
Just chicken and beer.
Uh-huh. I hope he still got it. Crawford's is still at 2616 Beverly Boulevard. My pal Matt Dittman is a co-owner of that place. So sorry that he lost the one out in Burbank. It is weird. LA is just such a high turnover of everything.
Mm-hmm.
Businesses, people. I told you, that's one of my things I like doing. Like when I perform at bars, I'm just like, yeah, man, I wonder what this place is going to be next. Whenever I'm performing at a new bar. I forgot to do it at the D&D themed bar in the Valley. But it was actually, that was a really fun show. And then I went over to the new hot tub, which is at Permanent Records Roadhouse.
Mm-hmm.
That was great. Got to get some bike rides in with my pals. Got up over by Jet Propulsion Labs, over by the mountain filled with secrets over there.
Uh-huh.
Got to ride my bike down that. Hung out with some folks. Did the show Saturday. Packed up a storage unit. It was an emotional day for me on Saturday.
Really?
That storage unit is like, oh, we got it when we left LA. Like, okay, pandemic's kicking in.
Mm-hmm.
Let's get the storage unit for a couple months. It's been almost 3 years.
Yeah. So are you done with the storage unit?
Yeah. It's empty now.
How much stuff was in there if you were able to get it all in the van?
It wasn't that much. It was like, we were leaving and it was like, well, we'll see how long we need to keep this storage unit for. So it was just random overflow that like, we can't get it all in the moving van.
Yeah.
But the van's packed to the brim right now. So like, that's why I wasn't pulling over to take naps. There's no room. Everything, it's filled.
Oh, okay.
On the way back. But it was such a strange thing to go through this time capsule of like, this is all what my life was before pandemic. Like, these were the clothes that I was wearing. These were my hobbies. That's nothing of like big value or anything. It was just, that's where this shirt went. It's what I wore before the world was entirely different. and so I was like, I spent 5 hours there.
Wow.
Just kind of looking at stuff.
Huh.
And just having a day. And I was telling Rachel, like, I'm not trying to run bits, but like, we're riffing, but I was thinking about how much emotional lifting goodwill does for people when you're like, I can't keep this, but you'll give it a better home. And it's the lie of like, oh, the dog had to go live at the farm. Like, I know you're going to throw this out, but thank you for being here and giving me the idea that it's going to a better home.
Yeah.
Because I can't just throw it out myself, but I need you to do it so I feel okay.
Yeah. We were...
I got sentimentality issues, so...
Katie and I were gathering stuff for Goodwill last week, and we were having a debate on used socks. I had some socks that were still in very good condition, but it's just not really the kind I rock anymore. And she wanted to give them to Goodwill, and I was like, eh. Like underwear, I feel like that's obvious. You know, you're not going to donate used underwear, but socks. I wonder if they would shame you or be disappointed if you brought in used socks.
I think Jenny's and feet, if it comes into contact with Jenny's or feet, mm-hmm. you should get rid of it. But
shoes.
You should look into Ridwell.
Ridwell, what's that?
Ridwell basically is like, oh, we'll recycle the stuff. And I need to research it. It seems a little too good to be true. But they will, they give you different bags. It's a serve. It's a pay for service.
Uh-huh.
But they give you different bags, and one of them is textiles. So, like, even if it's just old socks, they'll take that to
turn it into blankets or
whatever. Like, you know, it goes into like carnival stuffed animals or something.
Yeah.
But I need to read about it more. It does like really appeal to the feel good nature of things.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I'm reading about it now. So maybe it's not great, but it is. They do like, oh, here's old batteries, mm-hmm. which Best Buy will take batteries,
mm-hmm.
Plastic bags, which grocery stores, at least here, have like bins out in front that will take certain types of plastic and clamshells, because those can't go in recycling.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a cost to living, and trash is that cost. It comes down to like, what are you buying in the first place that needs to go?
Mm-hmm.
How much of the stuff are you consuming at the front end to worry about where it's going to go at the back end? So, and also I have to realize that hoarding the stuff here, it's like, it's still going to be trash. I'm just hanging on to it.
Mm-hmm.
Whether I keep it in my house and do nothing with it for 20 years or throw it out, it's the same thing.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know. People are kind of shitting on Ridwell here. So I got to do some more research on it, but we still participate here.
Today's episode of The Boogie Monster brought to you by our friends at Simply Safe Home Security. Would you do everything it took to protect your family? Of course you would. I've got bladed weapons, firearms, booby traps. I'm very well prepared. But that's not all. I also look to Simply Safe to help keep my family and my animals and my possessions and my home safe 24/7. They make it easy to protect every inch of your home with advanced security technology powered by 24/7 professional monitoring. Here's why I recommend it. It's so easy to use. All right. Home security, there's a lot of it out there. There's a lot of different companies. I've used some of the others in the past. But sometimes you don't really feel like you're getting your money's worth. Not the case with Simply Safe. So easy to use. You download the app. They walk me through it. 30 minutes. I got all the bells and whistles, the sensors, the cameras, everything you need to keep the whole house safe and secure. Simply Safe is designed with cutting-edge security technology. Like I said, powered by 24/7 professional monitoring. That's important. You know, imagine an emergency. You know, something happens. You don't want to be dealing with the voice commands, the voice automated stuff. You want to talk to a real live human being 24/7. You can do that with Simply Safe. In an emergency, Simply Safe's professional monitoring agents, they use Fast Protect technology to capture critical evidence and verify that the threat is real, so you get priority police dispatch. You can lock, unlock your doors, access your cameras, arm and disarm your system from anywhere. It's got it all, man. Customize the perfect system for your home in just a few minutes at simplysafe.com/boogie. That's S-I-M-P-L-I. simplysafe.com/boogie. Go today. Claim a free indoor security camera plus 20% off your order with interactive monitoring. Again, that's simplysafe.com/boogie. There's no safe like Simply Safe. Duh.
What do you say, Dave?
Got a quick recipe. Haven't done a recipe in a while. I think I've given this one out before, but it's been a year or so, and it was on my mind because it's what I whipped up for you the other night and for us.
Them noodles were good, baby.
You came over, was it Tuesday night you got in? And I whipped up a big old batch of garlic noodles. And it's so simple, so tasty. Man. Katie, and you could be honest, Katie was like, it was very good, but you went a little heavy on the garlic. And I was like, well, that's kind of the point.
It's
too much garlic?
I've never heard of such a thing.
Okay, me neither. I love garlic, but she's like, it's really good. And she's honest. She likes most of the things I prepare. But she's like, no, it's really good. It's just a little heavy on the garlic. But anyway, garlic noodles, so simple, so delicious. Here's the recipe. Get you a pound of noodles of your choice. I prefer linguine. But you could use spaghetti. You could use angel hair. You could use fettuccine, what have you. But, you know, sort of a classic noodle. Let's do 4 tablespoons of butter. We're going to make this sauce that includes 2 tablespoons of oyster sauce, 4 teaspoons of soy sauce, 4 teaspoons of fish sauce. All right, so that's the sauce. We're going to need a little Pecorino Romano cheese. I know traditionally Asian food.
Pecoroso.
Yeah, traditionally you don't want cheese with your Asian cuisine, but for some weird reason this works. We need 24 cloves of garlic. You need a nice, basically thumb-sized piece of raw ginger, and maybe about half of a small carrot, and then a little chili oil of your choosing. There's a lot of these new product chili crisps, chili oil, the Fly-By Jing stuff I use, but any type of like red chili oil to give it some heat. But basically, boil up those noodles. You want to get them a little al dente, so a little undercooked. About 9 minutes is what I do. Set those aside in a skillet or a Dutch oven. Go ahead and melt that butter. And then with that garlic, you want to either press or mince that. You want to get it really fine. I actually, the other day, used a mortar and pestle. I just beat the hell out of these garlic cloves with a mortar and pestle, and it kind of gave them a different texture, different you know, variation of sizes and stuff. But however you like your garlic, get your garlic, and so with that butter into the pan, and then throw the garlic in there along with that carrot and that ginger. You want to grate that really fine. If you've got like a zester or the smallest version of the cheese grater, but so garlic, ginger, and carrot into the butter. You want to saute that for just a few minutes, just when that garlic just starts to turn brown. You don't want to get it too brown at all, but just when it starts to really release that aroma and starts to slightly turn brown, that's when you add in all that sauce, the mixture of the soy, fish, and oyster sauce, and get that going. You're not trying to really cook that sauce. You're just trying to heat
oyster
it up.
Sauce. And what's oyster sauce?
No idea. And then you want to just kind of incorporate that sauce with the garlic and the ginger and the carrot. Then throw in those noodles and get that all stirred around nice and good. And then you can top it with a little of that Pecorino Romano and then the chili oil. You can either do the whole batch, you know, throw it in there to the big batch, or you let everybody kind of add chili oil after the fact to their liking in terms of the heat. But yeah, it takes like 10 minutes to prepare. I've made this dish before, and I've added crab meat. You can add a little crab meat to it, mm-hmm. but sometimes I think it's better just on its own. I was going to add crab meat.
You didn't have the crab meat in this, and it was great.
Yeah, I didn't have the crab meat. They were out at the store the other day, so I was like, yeah, let's just go completely, not vegan, but vegetarian on this.
Vegetarian.
Got the butter. But yeah, there you go. Garlic noodles, simple, savory, garlicky, delicious. And
are there oysters in oyster sauce?
Yeah, I would imagine there would be. So yeah, that wouldn't be that would.
So they're just. I just imagine somebody just like squeezing an oyster in their hand,
mm-hmm. until it just turns to jelly,
to just get the juice out of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you
I
could
wish I didn't think
you,
about that.
You could, and you don't need all three of those. You know, probably you need at least one, but you know, you could get away with one or two of the oyster, the fish, or the soy. You could also use a little sesame oil. But yeah, man, just have fun. Little Asian garlic noodles. Yeah, it's a good time.
It didn't taste fishy or anything. I was always curious. Like, it was years ago, as a gal I was dating, I was at her house. And she's like making food. She's like, this is fish sauce. Don't get freaked out. It tastes good.
Mm-hmm.
Like, all right.
Yeah, it gives it that umami. It gives it those deep,
yeah,
deep flavors.
I just didn't know. I was unfamiliar with it.
Change of gears real quick. I want to plug something that you're either too humble or too forgetful to have plugged yet. But just saw an ad for Aqua Teen Forever, Plantasm.
Oh, yeah. It's been out for a minute.
It's been out for a while, but you've yet to mention that you're in that movie.
Oh, I was plugging it on social media and stuff.
Okay. Well, you didn't plug it on here.
I forgot. Yeah. I forgot to. Yeah. Yeah.
So,
yes.
Kyle Kinane in the Aqua Teen Forever Plantasm. A lot of people I like in that movie. Tim Robinson in that movie. Killer Mike. Mm-hmm. Killer NBA legend Sean Kemp apparently voices a character. I don't know if you're familiar with Sean Kemp. Huge in the early 90s. Probably the best athlete in the NBA. Just the guy that could just jump out of the gym.
I remember the name, yeah.
He was probably the best dunker for a while.
It was one of those, like... If Dave Willis asks you to do something, mm-hmm. you just say yes.
Absolutely. It. Absolutely.
You might hear his voice at the beginning of the Boogie Monster.
That's right. That's right. But, yeah, I haven't seen the movie yet. I'm going to check it out soon. But, yeah, I just – and I knew you were in it, and I knew it had been out a while, but I just
– Yeah, I know we hadn't talked about it. I should have mentioned it here. My mm-hmm. apologies.
The other guy, who's that actor I really like? Paul Thomas Hauser. You'd know him if you saw him. He was in I, Tonya. He did. He played the falsely accused Olympic bomber, Richard Jewell.
Oh,
that dude! I love that dude. You know what I'm talking about?
I'm gonna find.
What's it? Paul, damn it, what's his name?
No,
Paul Walter Hauser. Paul Walter Hauser.
Paul Walter Hauser.
Big fan of that dude. He voices a character in that movie. That guy's so good. Great actor.
Oh, yeah, that dude's really funny.
He was so good in I, Tonya. Just a fucking, just a goober.
He's going to be one of those, like, Michael Pena types of like, man, I just want to see you and stuff.
Yeah, yeah. Anything he's in, it's even if the movie's not great, he's going to make his part great. So, yeah.
Good. Yeah, Richard Jewell. That was a good movie.
Yeah, I enjoyed that. I lived all that. That was huge. I mean, it was obviously a national story, but that was huge story in Georgia and Atlanta back when that was going down in 96.
Well, all right, man.
Good times, man.
What say, buddy? Valentine's Day.
Oh man, yeah, Valentine's. Oh,
we didn't get romantic.
Today's the anniversary of the funniest thing that's ever been said on this podcast.
Obligatory. Well, sexy, sexy, fuck, fuck.
I thought I was going to shit my pants. I laughed so hard at that. What you do?
Back in the learning annex.
Learning
days.
Annex days. You got any plans for Valentine's Day? You and Rachel, y'all
we're going to a Trailblazers game.
Really, Portland Trailblazers? How about that?
It was Rachel's idea. She's like, "You want to try and deal with a restaurant on Valentine's Day, or like, want to go to a Blazers game?" I'm like, "All right."
Have you ever
good nachos?
You ever been to an NBA game?
No,
they're fun. It's a good time.
I heard. I got halfway decent seats, and it's funny, they were playing the Lakers tonight.
Uh-huh.
It's like tickets start at whatever, $60. They're playing the Washington Wizards tomorrow. Tickets start at $14. I'm like, all right. We might not be seeing the most dynamic game.
Yeah.
But
Portland's got a good team. They got one of the best players in the league, Damian Lillard. He's an elite player.
I know nothing about it, but apparently, much like Portland want to do good restaurants in the stadium, so not just good nachos for the missus. We'll get her some proper food.
Good times, buddy.
Maybe we'll get on the Kiss Cam.
There you go. We're doing it low key. Katie's constantly got knots in her back. She's got the body of an 80-year-old woman, but not aesthetically, but internally, she's got the body of an 80-year-old woman, and she's just always sore. I got her a nice massage. I guess she's getting a 50-minute deep tissue massage at a little frou-frou spa, and while she's doing that, I'm going to cook dinner. I'm making one of her favorite dishes, my red wine braised beef short rib with mashed potatoes.
Okay, nice, nice.
So while she's getting a massage, I'm going to have dinner and Just really pamper the missus tomorrow. So,
well, that sounds delightful.
Yeah. Good times all around.
A sexy, sexy fuck fuck to you, and a sexy, sexy fuck fuck to all our listeners.
Well, thank you, buddy. And back at you. Sexy, sexy fuck fuck.
SSFF, baby.
Good seeing you in person last week, buddy. I'm glad you had a good trip to L.A. I'm glad you made it home safe, and we'll talk to you soon.
I got bit. I'll be back down there before everything goes hot, all hot and brown.
Good times. Yeah, come on back.
It was green and pleasant, so.
Yeah.
All right, buddy.
All right, man. Keep between the ditches. We'll talk to you soon.
The Boogie Monster.
Podcast Network.